pastor talk about praying and.
When I read this week, this is Genesis chapter 2. And it says, Yahweh God scooped up a lump of soil, sculptured a man, and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul.
Yes.
But the footnotes I want to read on this really puts a get on it. Or he breathes, or the breath of life, to breathe into someone's nostrils is what happens when two people kiss. God kissed life into Adam.
Whoa!
God's word likewise is God breathed. Jesus also blew his breath upon his beloved disciples. The lovers of God long for this kiss. Instantly, every portion of Adam's being was filled with life. The spirit wind poured into the man of clay, lying in the Creator's arms. Adam's first sight was looking into the eye of the image maker.
Uh-huh.
The dust of the earth and the breath of deity make one as one, so that Adam could interact in both realms, physical and spiritual.
Wow.
This breath of the spirit of life was more than air.
It brought
intelligence, spirit, wisdom, light, and the image of God into Adam. The Mishnah, which is a collection of rabbinical teaching, uses a synonym for the soul, the word Mava, M-A-V-E-H, Mava, Mava, derived from the root Baha, a verb to mean to ask, to seek, or to request, as in prayer. In other words, the Talmud defines man as a creature that prays. Furthermore, the Talmud teaches that even the life-sustaining soul is synonymous with prayer. One translation could be, and man was manifested as a praying being, or one that could commune with God. In a sense, being a human being means moving in the direction of divine design, God embedded within us. But, you know, we've been coming, you know, talking about prayer and going to pray, but that's what God designed from the beginning.
Amen.
And we know the enemy kind of messed that up, but we know the Savior restored it, you know, give us the Holy Spirit.
Repeat that what you said again when you breathed into the nostril. Go back and repeat that.
The breath of life, to breathe in someone's nostrils, is what happens when two people kiss. God kissed life into Adam. In other words,
he kissed life into Adam. Oh my God. That's beautiful. He kissed life into Adam.
You know, that kiss is a, you know, sign of love. But, reread this. We got time.
Yeah, we got time. We certainly don't kiss people.
I want to apologize. Last week I kind of raised my voice when I read this.
Oh, it was good.
I did it for the purpose of just staring. It wasn't as dangerous.
But please raise your voice.
I did it. No one and I needed to do that. It was not. It was touching. It was beautiful the way you read it. I'm hoping you read the same way this time. Just be led by your spirit.
I want the men to raise their voices too, so you can. I don't want y'all.
You put the anointing when you got it, out when you read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go again. I'm gonna finish it up.
Okay.
The power of life is within the heart of the believer. Therefore, by the tongue, he or her brings that life out by the words of the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is a must for that life to come forth, for which the mysteries of Christ is unveiled. By remaining silent, we cut short this power within. The the gift that Christ died for to give us is too valuable to go unheard. Even though we may not understand all spoken, it is of faith we speak these words of the unknown language. For we trust in his words that out of the belly flows living water. As we all know, it takes water to make all things grow. Everything needed for life is within the Spirit. A quickening of the Spirit is like that water under pressure. 2020 will be a quickening to the body of Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
Some may doubt, some may say, is this possible? All things are possible for them who believe. This world alone will not return void, but will accomplish that which is in sin for to do. By June, you will say, we must extend our walls to feed the flock. But I will open a door that no man can open or shut. From this day forth, trust in me with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and not all your ways acknowledge me, says the Spirit of grace.
Amen.
So,
thank you, brother.
But, you know, even in the life of Jesus, you know, he was a man of prayer.
Uh-huh.
I think we need to, as a body of Christ, pray.
Yeah.
Pray. Pray. And the Lord put something on my heart to share with the body here maybe a few weeks about the heart of man. Mm-hmm. And what the Lord said about the heart is amazing. I used to think, why didn't God make the heart like he made the ears, the eyes, you know, three-part being, or man, a three-part being, but he made it in four sections, you know.
You're talking about the physical heart. The
physical heart, which is...
spiritual connection.
It is. But we're going to see what Jesus said about the heart and where we want to, maybe if we're hung up somewhere, go to the other portion.
Amen, amen. God bless, God bless.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Deborah.
There he is. I always go to the science side. But when people have heart transplants, some of the desires and tastes of the person's heart, like one lady said, I never ate chocolate. Well, the guy's the heart that she got was a chocoholic. And all of a sudden, she couldn't get. So there is a physical, genetic, part of the heart along with the spiritual part of the heart. But I thought that was amazing. They began to say that they, you know, have desires that they did not have or habits that they did not have before when they received a physical heart transplant.
Wow. Okay, and let's think on who made the heart? Who created the heart?
But I want y'all to just,
Talk
on the infant away for next week or whatever. One example I want to show you that Jesus knew what he was talking about. In Matthew 13, if you look at the heart there, in this, oxygen comes in depleted, and goes in, and then it drops down to the lungs, and then it comes back into the oxygen in it and comes over here into this third part of the heart. But Jesus got it back to him when he's talking about the heart. He never used the word choke. Talk about people's hearts being choked until the third part he was talking about the cares and riches of this life. And the word tells us to guard our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And these walls, person will never guard their heart until they're over here, and here's where the walls are thickest. And what walls are guards, but Jesus, man, he just, when he spoke to the heart. I mean, by him saying what he said about the heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's a good man.
That's good.
You know, people that have a hole in their heart between the left atrium and the right, the babies, that's what will kill some people because the oxygenated contaminated blood or that's not
that's good. We're going to move a little faster because we've got apostle teaching on anointed, not anointed, but communion today. And that's an end time. Communion is an end time revelation that the people of God will get and operate from that. We will get it. Our eyes will be open to, just like Jesus opened up the eyes when he broke the bread with the disciples. They didn't know who he was, but their eyes were open and they knew who he was and they ran and told everybody what had happened. But it's an end time revelation that we're going to get. We're going to get. And I thank God for Apostle pressing in on it to get it. And let me say this right quick. I received this a couple of days ago in the mail. I know when God told me a fresh anointing last year, almost at the end of last year, and we got our shirts and things and stuff, he said a fresh anointing. I didn't know too much about the connection, how it, I knew we needed a fresh anointing, but this came in a fresh anointing on your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I went, whoa, okay, God, that's finally some connection there, you know? I got the shirt, designed it as he said, but didn't have all of the connection of it, but a fresh anointing on your eyes. God wants the people of God to see something that you've never seen before. So you can walk in something you never walked into before. But a fresh anointing on our eyes. Just do it from there, Candace. We okay. He's in the room.
Welcome him into this house.
Hey, baby.
Thank you, God. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah.
Tell his people that I will tell my people that I love them. My God, so great. You mend every tear my heart sustains. Even before I knew your name, you made a way. My soul sings, holy is the Lord. Yesterday, today, forevermore.
Yes, Lord.
I will sing your praise. Jesus is your name.
Jesus.
Oh. Hallelujah. You are holy. We are standing on holy ground right now.
We bless you. Hallelujah.
Great. Now I'm concealed. Search me, Lord, and hear my heart's appeal.
Jesus.
In awe of you, my spirit yields. Your love revealed. My soul sings, holy.
Lord.
Yesterday, today, forevermore,
Jesus.
And
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise
you,
Lord.
King of kings and Lord
of lords. King of kings,
we worship you in spirit and in truth.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Holy are you, Lord. Jesus, faithful and just, you never give up. Your love is a flood. You're so good to us, Jesus, faithful and just. You never give up. Your love is a flood. You're so good to us, Jesus, faithful and just. You never give up.
Yes.
Your love is a flood. You're so good to us, Jesus, faithful and just. You never give up. Your love is a flood.
Jesus.
You're so good to us. My soul sings, holy. Yesterday, today, forevermore, and I will sing your praise. Jesus is your name. My soul sings, sovereign is the Lord. Eternally, you are faithful. Endless are your days. Jesus is your name. Jesus is your name.
Worship like we know he's in the room.
Amen.
That we are aware that he's in the room. Now, the reason we're doing a lot of this because we have no speaking at 9:30, you know, teaching at 9:30. So everybody's trying to get their little thing in at this time. Usually we don't do it this way. We're having a little better organized, but everybody's is trying to, because there'll be no teaching at 9:30. Okay, Apostle.
Page 42. The power of proclaiming the Lord's death. One other lesser known aspect of the Holy Communion is the power of proclaiming the Lord's death.
That's good.
Paul said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The Lord's death reminds us he died, he paid a high price for us to have healing, for us to have salvation, for us to have a relationship with him, so that we can commune with him. He paid a high price. I was thinking about that yesterday. If you ever in doubt whether God loves you, go back and look at what he did for us. When he put something on my heart also to share this morning, we'll get to it later, but he wants us to remember how simple it is. Come back to simplicity. When we receive his light, we drive out the darkness. It's easy. We have to break through the darkness and enjoy the marvelous light. He said, continue. He said, you might ask, Pastor Prince, what about the Lord's death are we proclaiming, and to what are we proclaiming? Paul said in another place, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
Amen.
When the Lord paid the price it took to get us free, he did it publicly.
Come on now.
He did it on purpose.
Come on.
He did it without repentance.
Come on.
He meant it. An earthquake happened.
Jesus.
An earthquake happened. This was worldwide. The sun didn't shine the day he died. He made sure everybody knew that something happened. The veil in the temple was rent in two.
Yes.
He meant it. He loves us. And he means that he loves us. He loves us on purpose. He's dedicated to that love. Everything he do is from his heart of love.
Thank you.
Everything he gives us to do. As we commune with him, we learn these things. If you go in his presence, the things that people can't teach you, he will.
Ooh. Now that's powerful, Apostle. I like that.
It's so important. But people can be so stubborn and strong in their ways and in their methods and in their thoughts and in their teaching and in their advice. But when you go in the Lord's presence, he'll show you everything for what it is. If you'll remain there long enough to receive it. And when you do, then you can see people are praying and they want the mighty works of God again. They want God to use them. The first step, give God your attention. Receive what he's saying. But the Lord's death, it takes us to that place. Healing won't be a problem when we consider the Lord's death. Sometimes people are in pain. They start wondering, is it God's will to heal me? Am I going to live? Am I going to make it? I hear people say these things. Yeah, you're going to make it. Don't give up. Persist. Take what God has given you. He expects it. And I learned these things in his presence and in life. I felt that way before. I said, Lord, it don't look like I'm going to make it. I said, I'm at the end of my rope. He said, you're not at the end of your rope. You're at the beginning of your future.
Whoa. Yeah.
It goes back to what Jesus said to the man at the pool of Bethesda. Will you be made whole? How far will you take this? You're in the courts of heaven. What do you want to do? You don't have to be physically up there in front of the throne. You're in the courts of heaven wherever you are. Say something. Demand it. Take it. If it doesn't look like it's working, it's working.
Amen.
Put a demand on life and change the facts in the ground. Amen. Like Brother Horton used to say.
Amen.
He said, so when we remember Jesus' death, we are also proclaiming to the principalities and powers that they have been disarmed because he has triumphed over
them. That's good.
As he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Jesus triumphed over the darkness of this world openly, publicly. When we have a case, we do the same thing. It will become your standard. If you start winning, you'll keep winning. You can keep winning. It doesn't matter how things look, because one thing the Lord will teach us, don't depend on what you see. Don't depend on circumstances.
Amen.
That's very important. We have to break through the darkness. The darkness is out there. God gave Israel the promised land. They had to go take it from the giants that were greater in stature, stronger, and even smarter. And wit for wit, the giants were—they were like children of great renown. They had a lot of knowledge. They had angelic knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Angels have evidential knowledge. They know God. We attain evidential knowledge through faith. All of our evidential knowledge is by faith. They had evidential knowledge, and they were equipped not to fall. They chose to fall.
Amen.
They chose. They did it on purpose, and they meant it.
They made a curse on themselves, actually a vow.
Yeah.
You know, they made a vow with each other to do that very act.
Yep.
Ain't that so?
Mm-hmm. If they thought they could take over, and they meant it. They did it on purpose. Jesus took over, and he did it on purpose. Henry Groove, I was watching Ron White, the way he found the Ark of the Covenant, he was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. He went to Golgotha, where the cross was. When the earthquake happened, he said the blood dripped down through the crack onto the ark and landed on the mercy seat. He found that he had
blood was still alive.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And he took it to two different places and didn't tell them where the blood came from.
Yeah.
Okay, didn't tell them. Okay, and they were like, where'd his blood come from? It's still alive. Mm-hmm. How is this possible? It don't have the male chromosome either. How is that possible? Yeah. It all blew him away.
Jesus said when he came back, touch me, because I am flesh and I am bone.
Yeah. He paid the price for it. You can Google Ron White. This is something, you know, God is good. The ark will appear again in the temple in heaven. So I believe angels got it. But anyway, nevertheless, I can believe that because God thinks of everything. He, in my following him, he blows me away with the way he thinks.
Amen.
And the details.
And the details. He, in other words, he wants you to break through in your case. Break through the dark. Don't let the darkness lie to you. It's lying. Everything of the enemy is a lie.
Amen.
To throw you off track.
Amen. Because,
think about it this way. They admitted in the court in Paul's day, y'all, the apostles turned the world upside down. Satan knew. He could not stop him. He tried. He tried to kill him. Nothing worked.
And the court couldn't stop him.
And the court couldn't stop
him. Amen.
So the enemy had to regroup and reconsider this thing. He had to, Paul said it and Peter said it. When we die off, teachers are going to rise up that's going to teach wrong. Break through the darkness.
Yeah.
If it's a lie, it can't work. God, the Holy Spirit can't sanction it. If you're sick in your body, believe for healing. Take it to the highest court.
Amen.